All right. World's changed a little bit politically since we last spoke. How late did you stay up Tuesday night?
I didn't stay up super late. I woke up in the middle of the night to check what was going on. My wife wouldn't let me watch it at home because she was so mad at everything. She wouldn't let me turn on the TV. So I went to bed with her. So I did wake up in the middle of the night to find out what was going on. And of course, then was thinking of all of what I was going to buy the next day. And of course, that didn't play out the way it planned. So how about you?
It was. I went to bed not knowing the outcome, and I woke up at 3:30 and sneaked out of the bed and went to the computer and got the answer. I've never seen, and I don't know if you remember, futures were down 700 points.
Right.
When it looked like it was turning, and then what ended up the next Wednesday up 300, something like that. It's amazing how emotion controls so much of what we do. All right, Mike, you sent me some things that I want to address, but I want to give you an idea to start with. A lot of FAs are use November to talk to clients about tax harvesting. Are you guys doing the same thing?
I think we have. It's just a little disjointed this year because usually Verna would have all of the kind of basically have the spreadsheet ready of all the capital gains and losses or capital gain distributions that are coming from some of the funds that we're using, and then we could go through the accounts and pull out anybody that had problems. But I guess to say to answer your question, yes, we're doing it, probably not as thoroughly as we have done in the past.
Just to tag on to that, because once again, Rob, communication, Tracy is working on updating our spreadsheet, and we're using the short answer is yes, we actually do have it. We just haven't, I don't know if it's quite ready yet or, to start giving the numbers to clients, Mike. But yes, Tracy has been working on that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Sorry, my bad.
All right. By the way, I called in because I had my times wrong. I thought it was at 10, and then when I checked my calendar, it was at 11, and I called to see where you guys were and got Tracy. And, gosh, what a pleasant person on the phone. Just absolutely, absolutely pleasant. I thought I would tell you that.
Well, that's good to know. We had some good feedback for her this morning as well. With a client event that Matt and I did this weekend, and the person at this restaurant that facilitated it was very complimentary of how well she did and how good she was at follow up and good she was at maintaining, responding, I guess, to her. So she was really happy with the way Tracy did that.
Yeah, well, you just talk to some people and you feel, I felt an energy and an enthusiasm and just a friendly attitude. That means a lot. Here's why I asked you the question about taking the tax losses. It's an important thing to do. It's also important to tell your clients who don't have anything to do from a tax consequence that you have done the work. I would hate for them to be sitting with a client, Merrill Lynch's or whatever, and the guy's bragging on how the Merrill broker, Merrill FA called and saved them some taxes, and then they might wonder, well, why haven't Mike and Matt called me? I think you got to take credit for that. Now, here's something that I learned from a FA in New York City a couple weeks ago. He takes it a step further, and he asks when he calls the client, and the conversation is along the lines, "Ms. Jones, I just want to let you know I've looked over your portfolio. I don't see anything to do from a tax point of view unless you've had some transactions away from me, real estate, something else like that." And then he says, "Would you like for me to call your CPA and see if there's anything that he or she thinks would make sense for you to do. Because as you know, you can still take what, 3,000 of losses against a against current income. But just to offer to call the CPA, I think is a great idea. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first address, and I got this is our last scheduled call. So if there's any way you want to take this beyond what the email that you sent me, Mike, feel free to do it.
Okay.
You said as I add more Supernova calls to my calendar, it seems to add less flexibility for clients to stop in or request an unscheduled meeting. And then you say, I have one $10 million client who resists Tracy's call for review will only respond to you. What's your question there first of all, if you have less flexibility for stop-in clients, I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing. You don't drop in on your dentist or your doctor.
And, right.
And we have trained clients over the years that, you know, whenever they call, we jump through the hoop. So I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing as long as they are, when they drop in, they're treated well. You know, it's not just Mike can't see it, he's tied up.
I don't think it's a problem. I only brought it up because I ran into it last. I've got a couple of clients, larger ones that aren't as that are harder to pin down. And you know, it's invariably that, like John, you're thinking of John, like Matthew. You know, I'll call him and try to set it up, and he thinks that responding to Tracy is belittling to him as a client, that I should be just talking to him directly, and so he doesn't respond to her. And then when I had a scheduled meeting with him, then he called and canceled and said, well, call me next week. I'll set it up next week. Well, I'm already booked for next week. That's not a big deal. I was mostly just as an example that, you know, the more you book up monthly calls, the less flexibility that you have in the calendar. But I think it's good. It's a good thing. I'm just noticing that the more I book, the seems like the harder it is for the, you know, to be flexible sometimes.
Yeah, it is. There's no question about it. But again, I think that might be uncomfortable to you, Mike. It would probably be a little uncomfortable to me because you and I grew up, well, I grew up before you did, but it's we had trained our clients to do, again, that we could jump through hoops at any time. Now, you always apply the rule of common sense. If you're scheduled at certain times and you've scheduled in some free times into your calendar and a $10 million client wants to meet with you, you know, you probably on a one-off basis want to accommodate him. I think that's just common sense. But that's not something you do on a continual – that's a one-off thing, not a continual thing. So, Mike, that's confirmation to me that what you're doing is working. Your calendar's full. You don't take walk-ins. You'll try to accommodate them, but you can't drop other things. You said still working through training Tracy and Barb. It's been challenging, but making headway. I go back to what Matt said.
Hold on a second here. I lost you here. Just a second.
Yeah.
Great day there.
Hello? I'm here.
Okay. Sorry. I'm having a little trouble.
You want to dial back in?
It should be working. I'm not sure.
Let me take you off of the speakerphone and see if that.
No, I think it's fine. I'm in my car and I'm just trying to switch how I listen to you. So just leave it alone. I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Matt, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Still working through training Tracy and Barb. It's been challenging and making headway. I want to go back to something Matt said. on our last call is we have the right people on the bus. Is that still the case, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's still the case.
All right. So when you say it's challenging with making headway, as long as you're working with the right people, that's time well spent. Now, last time we talked about making sure that they don't interrupt you during the day, and unless it's an emergency, meeting with them at the end of the day to just do a download to make sure they answer any questions they have. Have you been able to stick to that process?
I don't know about, I don't want to speak for Mike, but I would say no, that hasn't been happening. I asked them, but I think part of it is they don't know what's an emergency and what's not an emergency. And so, you know, when they're working on something, to them, that's really important in the moment. And so, you know, it just doing some kind of education around, you know, trying to batch some of that stuff would be nice. I think, you know, Mike and I, or at least I, underestimated how much work it was going to be to train, you know, two new people. It just absolutely dominates every day, it seems like, right now.
Yeah, you're right. I think we got the right people. It's just neither one of us had any idea how little they knew and how much we didn't know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they're just asking, you know, virtually every single step of every single project, and so it's us training them. It's like, I don't need to know all this. I don't care what you do. You know, just get it done, basically. So some things are like that, and some are we need to coach through and work through. So I think this part of that process, so it's taken a lot of time.
Well, you also said, I don't have in my notes which one of you said it. You only have to ask them once. You only have to teach them something once. Is that still the case?
Yeah, except for Barbara. I didn't know Tracy is a little more. Tracy's probably more one time and done. Tracy has struggled more because she's trying to fight the system. You know, she came from Wells Fargo and she was used to doing it her way and knew how their systems work, and our systems are different, and she can't understand why we do it differently. So she's constantly butting heads with the back office trying to fix something that she's not going to fix. And so it's been a learning process to get her to kind of embrace the crazy and just figure out how to get it done. But she seems to be getting better. I don't know. I worry about her a little bit. I don't know about you, Matt, but it just seems like she's, I don't know. I'm not sure if she's happy or not. I can't quite get a read on it.
I would probably echo that. I mean, I check in with her if not daily, four times a week.
Yeah.
Just kind of offline, you know, just, because Mike has more day-to-day with Barb from a business flow standpoint, and I have more of a business flow standpoint with Callie. So sometimes I just go to Barb and just ask her, you know, how's it going, I'm getting the answers. I'm getting things are great. I like it. You know, I'm a little frustrated with this maybe or that, and it's the same point that you're making, Mike. You know, but then, you know, I don't know. She's, you know, sick today, and so sometimes you just wonder if she is struggling more than she's leading on.
It seems like she's been out health-wise a lot.
Yeah, and we didn't have any of that usually with Verna, so it's different for us.
Yeah, I don't think they ever were south sick. Barely ever. Oh. So, and then Barb's been out quite a bit. She had a chiropractor call and then a health call and then now sick today, and she's had a couple sick days already. And I don't know.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, and then we have we've got an odor issue in the building that we've been struggling with for years, and that affects her more than it affects some in the office. So that's given her headaches, and although it's gone away now, it's heat driven, so the heat is gone from the summers, but that's been an issue. And so just little things like that, but that's nothing you can fix, Rob. I think it's just us being you know, sensitive to trying to continue to transition her, and hopefully she'll come around.
Yeah.
How long has this new team been in place?
Well, Barb started June 1, and Tracy started September, 7th or 8th, Mike?
Somewhere near, yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. So a couple of months as in its current form, Rob.
Yeah.
Matt, if you're seeing progress, well, both of you, is there... Do you think that by the end of the year that you will have this thing, or they will be trained 90% of the way you want them to be trained?
Honestly, I don't think so.
No.
I think that time frame's too aggressive. After, you know, maybe in September I would have thought yes, but now that we're in the middle of November, I don't think we'll make that.
No.
That, you agree? Okay.
Yeah, I'd say a year from now, maybe. Maybe by next year this time, we might be at maybe 80% throttle.
Well, the Matt, you said, and we keep referring to past conversations, and I'm not going to have the words exactly right, that you have a chance here to reshape the team.
Yes.
I'm not struggling, but I'm trying to figure out. You are two reasonable guys, at least my experience. They are people you said are the right people on the bus, but it seems to be going more slowly than you all think it could. Am I hearing that correctly?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to expect. We've never had to deal with this before. You probably have bumped into other, you know, FAs that are kind of retooling. We've never had to do it. I haven't had to do it for a long time, and certainly not to the extent that the practice is now. But I don't know, Barbara. I'm struggling a little bit because she's just fighting everything, I think it's wearing her down. And so I think if she could stop fighting everything and just start working, things would flow better. But I'm not sure. I'm hoping it'll come around. It's just not there yet.
Well, let's talk about communication. I had a boss after Rob Knapp who would say, when there was an issue, let's throw the skunk on the table and talk about it. Is it time to sit down with Barb and take her temperature? You don't look like, you know, a great way to start a conversation like that, at least for me, was you don't look like you're having any fun. What that does, it takes it, like when I used to have to fire a guy who was working hard and it just wasn't working, that's the way I would start the conversation. Bill, you don't look like you're having any fun. And it takes it off of performance, and it just makes it more and it's not emotional, but it's not about not being good at what you do. It's just you don't look like you're having any fun, and it changes the dynamic.
Sure.
And I think that would be a great conversation to have. Well, what do you mean I'm not having? Well, you just seem to be. In a place I don't know how to respond, because I don't know how she would respond, and just get some honesty out of her. What's working? What isn't working? What do you need from us? What do you just have conversations, Mike? My experience is problems never, and I'm not saying Barb's a problem. I'm just hearing what you're saying. Problems never take care of themselves. They only get worse. So I think it would make sense toward the end of the week, and I mean, if she's been out sick, I don't want her to interpret this as you're mad at her for being out, but just one of you have that conversation. Who should have that conversation with her?
I don't know, Matt. According to Lori, they're all intimidated by me, so maybe you have to.
I think sometimes I think actually maybe in this instance I might be, Mike, only because, like I said, from a business flow standpoint, you know, you deal with her more on a moment-to-moment basis. So maybe it would seem a little less, you know, threatening, if you will, if I go to her and have that conversation. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I don't want to start that path. If she has a problem, she needs to come. I need to make sure she's comfortable doing that. So the only way to do that is just to make sure.
Yeah.
I've asked her before. I mean, I talked to her probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or two or three, and said, you know, how's it going? Are you doing okay? We're happy you're here, and where you're doing a great job. And she said, no, I'm feeling better, and she had all positive things, but and so maybe it is better. It might be just perception on our part. So I think you're right, Rob. That's a good idea, just to do a temperature check. And our observation is maybe you don't look like you're having fun, but we know you're under a lot of stress, and I just want to make sure that you are okay.
Yeah. Mike, you said people are intimidated or whatever. I can say something to somebody, or my wife could say the same thing. My wife runs a civic organization. Everybody loves her except one.
Okay.
We're going to have her eliminated here soon.
That sounded ominous, Rob.
Say it again?
I said that sounded a bit ominous.
I'm coaching my wife through it. If I'd have had her people skills and my technical skills, I'd have done a lot better. But we're going to say to that lady, she's going to say, I think you'd be happier someplace else. But anyway, some people just come across different from others. I come across a lot heavier, for lack of a better word, than my wife does or my admin manager did when I worked there. It just, God makes people different ways. So I would, if you feel that you're always interpreted as being gruff or whatever, I know you well enough, that's not your intention. You're task focused, and you're trying to get it done. I think it would be better for Matt to have that conversation. And don't take that, that's not negative, that's just acceptance of people come across differently. Your clients obviously love you, or they leave. So, so what I'm hearing is you're feeling good about Tracy. Correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. And you're worried. You're not mad at. You're not thinking they're going to fail. You're worried about Barb. The
obvious
thing to do is to have a conversation. Don't look like you're having any fun. Tell me what's going on. We really like having you here. We know how talented you are. And then after you do that, then you can start talking about specifics. Well, I know they did things differently at Wells Fargo. Every firm is different. It feels like you're fighting the system. Well, I'm not fighting the system. It just seems that just have a conversation. Because my experience is if you don't, it's only going to get more difficult. And if this is a lady who is good at what she does, the last thing you all want to do is have her quit and have to start this whole process again. Agree?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any downside to having this conversation, because if you have this conversation and she quits, she was going to quit anyway. Just show them that you care. That's really all you can do. What do you need? What? Yeah, I just, you know, is there something you need from Mike? Is there something you need from me? Whatever it is, we want to make this thing better. We think this is an opportunity for us to retool our team and make it better than it was. You're part of that vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we are spending, and rightfully so, we're spending a lot more time on organization in our last couple of calls. We're spending almost no time on growth.
Yeah.
This is,
yeah.
And it's the right thing to do, because if you don't have the good foundation, you can't grow. So you got to, in my opinion, my experience tells me that you got to get with Barb as soon as it makes sense, and have a "you don't look like you're having any fun" type of conversation. I think you're going to be surprised at what you get back.
I talked to her, as I mentioned, Matt, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and kind of had the same sort of discussion. But again, she may not want to tell me, but she may be willing to confide in you. So, so why don't you do that, and then we'll just see where that goes.
Okay.
Well, we talked about this a couple of months ago. I wish I could be there. I wish I could sit with you and work through these things. Mike, I would love to see you focused on your clients.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Matt running this thing on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that all that is, you know, you talk about the – You do not enjoy the yin and the yang part of this business. I mean, if you wanted to go into full time management, you could have done that, and you chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So you focus on what you're excellent at: client relationships, growing the practice. That's you are really, really good at that. Let Matt handle the day-to-day thing with this training. It might cost Matt a little bit on the client coverage side, but if you get this thing to where you want it, it's going to pay dividends big time down the road. Are you comfortable with that, Matt?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Matt's been, to some extent, both of us, want to be more focused on client facing, and then also, new business. Matt's been doing a great job of developing new business and finding new accounts, so I think, to some extent, both of us want to be more, do more of that. But clearly, we got derailed this year. So,
I know I'm not saying that I want Matt to do nothing but run that practice. I think for whatever reason, Mike, and all I got is what you all have shared with me. I don't get it, but I have to accept the fact that you come across a little overbearing, for lack of a better word. I mean, mm-hmm. I find you a really pleasant man, but you're apparently coming across the way you don't come across. So you focus on what you know you're good at. Let Matt work the structure mm-hmm. side here and get it on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want you to take what I'm telling you negatively. This has nothing to do with anything except getting the right people in the right seats right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you have a great structure and no practice, no clients, that isn't going to work. If you focus on the clients, Matt focuses on the clients, but he carves out a little bit more time to be involved with these people. I mean, this is as important as landing a $10 million account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We got to get it right.
Yeah, you do, but you can't do it all yourself. I don't know what it is about advisors. It's just my experience. This isn't everybody, but in general, if they're not on the phone talking to clients, they feel like they're not taking the best use of their time. I would tell you, men, that the best use of your time right now is to get this structure under you, because you can, Matt mentioned a couple meetings ago, want to get this thing to $5 million. You can do that when you have the right structure. If you knew you were going to do $5 million, be annualized at $5 million in 18 months, but Matt had to spend a little bit more time getting the structure right, that would be a heck of a good trade. Agreed?
Agreed.
It's obvious to me the roles right now are as the best roles are you on the phone with clients, bringing in new business, whatever, Matt doing the same thing, but again, carving out a little bit more time to be proactive in this process.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Anything else? We didn't get to the investment process speech, but you want to spend 5 minutes on that, or you guys got to go?
No, it's up to you. I mentioned it only because you always had such a good flow to it, and I made a pitch to a client last week. That was basically interviewing me and my competitor at RBC, and it was probably not an account that we were anxious to bring in anyway. So as a result, my pitch showed that. But so I'm not as concerned there. But my concern was that my presentation skill just gets rusty sometimes. So your flow of how you handle your investment process, I always thought was pretty good, and so I have it written down somewhere so I can find it, but I needed a refresher on how you made that flow.
I've got it in script form in front of me. I will email it to you.
Oh, well, that even works too.
Okay, the person that the script's written about is a guy named Bart, so just scratch out Bart and put Mike in it. We're all flow.
Okay, got it. I think the process and then Matt's gotten it down pretty good, the process and then the supernova, or not the supernova, but our service matrix, I think, is the value proposition. And I've kind of realized after, I did a $10 million pitch to a 401k here a month or two ago, and we were one of five in the finalists. We didn't get it. But it occurred to me at that time that, I'm certainly not bad. I mean, we're certainly competent, and we know what needs to be done. But trying to differentiate and really hammer home why somebody should be doing business with us versus somebody else is where my sales pitch is lacking. I'm just thinking that people should work with us because we're good. But I have to get into my pitch much more aggressive than I used to be. It used to be okay to be a nice guy, but I don't think it. You got to seemingly just get much more aggressive about how we differentiate, because the client doesn't know the difference. And I think that's where I fell flat on the last couple of pitches, at least those two, not all of them, but a couple of them. So I got to get better at it. I don't know about what you think, Matt, but I've got to
get better. Yeah, you get a little rusty at it unless you're doing it all the time. So.
Yeah. And it's my guess, and it is a guess, is that all this stuff going on with your team is draining your battery.
It could be that.
I just hear it in your voice, Mike. You're not as enthusiastic as I've heard you in the past. So
Well, Matt, you've been struggling the last 6 months too, for sure.
Yeah, no, I have. You're right. I mean, Mike and I have talked a little bit about it, Rob, and it's, like I said earlier, it's just, I think we underestimated how much work it was going to, we didn't know what we had until it was gone to a certain degree. We didn't know, and it does. It takes you away from your flow. When that happens to me, and I think, you know, Mike struggles a little bit with the investment side, and I don't want to maybe speak on his behalf, but, you know, if I sit down, I can sit down with anybody, and I can have the same conversation. And so it's kind of the old Henry Ford deal. You know, you can have the car, any color you want, as long as it's black. The investment side to me is, you know, the relationship is what I spend more of my time focusing on, and Mike does too. But I don't get caught up as much in the investment side because, you know, Mike and I have a monthly meeting on our PM, on our models, and I know where the money is going to go, and so I don't spend a lot of time outside of that thinking about it, because I just know that I've got, you know, we've had this discussion and we've done the plan and I know what they want, and this is the model that I'm going to put them in, and, you know, and it's customized from their standpoint, but it's not customized because, you know, on the back end, and I've just resigned myself that I think that's okay, but that's just me personally.
Mm-hmm. And I'm getting better at it. We've been working, making really good headway at streamlining our, getting rid of our custom models and kind of getting everything moved on to our team models. So I've been getting better at it and trying to get less involved in the weeds, but it's, you know, it's just a process, I think. But you're right, man. I think that's really the only way to grow the practice anymore. It's just, we got to get more, just continue to scale it. So.
Yeah.
That's right, and part of your being able to scale it is having a team around you
that allows
you to do that. Now we're right back where we started, which is pulls it all together.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Do you have anybody, right, Rob, before I forget, do you have anybody that has a good business planning template that you've worked with that you think is really, I don't know. I've seen some. I've just never found one I'm really crazy about. But I wondered if you've seen
it. I don't. I have one that Mike is focused on growth.
Yeah.
And focuses on how you drive growth. Is you can't control the outcome, but you can control the actions.
Activities. Yeah.
Activities. But as far as a full-blown
that's okay. Not a big deal.
Business plan. I don't have that.
Okay. I have some that I can use. I just was looking to revamp what we used to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear you. That's important, but it's not the most important thing you have to do right now.
No.
You know how to grow the business. You just got to get your infrastructure right, and then those other things are additive. It's
mm-hmm.
The old cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Well, there was a rock and roll song by a guy named Raul Donner, and the name of his only big hit was "You Don't Know What You Got Until You Lose It," and
yeah,
that's what you said a minute ago. And I'll send you a YouTube link to old Raul, and you can sing along with him.
Oh, thanks. That's what we need.
I gotta go.
Well, okay, sounds good. See you later.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Rob.